four kids throughout the state of Iowa, and bring them together for 3 nights and 4 days, and have the age group from 10 to 17 or 18. Actually, there's a few that were 18, and bring them together and have things run as smoothly and as efficiently as it does. And that takes many hands to do that. So we thank you for doing that. We're going to have Danielle's going to come up. She's going to show you a few object lessons. We just want to kind of give you an idea and a example of kind of what goes on at camp, so you can kind of see what the kids do. So Deirdre's going to give a couple object lessons. I was going to have Chrissy do hers. She's not here. She had a long week. She's the one that ran the kitchen all week, and that's a lot of mouths to feed three times a day plus snacks. So she's wore out and needed to get caught up this morning. So Deirdre will do hers. So if you just want to look, we'll kind of, Deirdre will do a couple object lessons, and then Mom will come up here and give kind of an overview of what the lessons and the teaching and kind of the background of things was. So keep the kids up here. They're not going to hurt anything. We did get, Eric did get that TV and all the video stuff to work in the little kids' room if that is needed. So that is up and going. One other thing, Bob is here, by the grace of God. So we thank you for God for healing Bob, for keeping him here for us. How long were you out for? 2 minutes. They said that his heart wasn't beating, and yet here he sits. So, praise God. Here's Bob. So, answered praise. So very, very cool. So, Deirdre, if you want to, just explain kind of a couple object lessons, and you can start. So we try to keep the kids obviously engaged. When you have kids that are 10 years old, clear to 18, and all in one room, 44 of them at a time, it takes a lot of unique ideas to keep them focused and learning. So that's the point about object lessons.
Or you can grab the Bible that's in the pew, something a little heavy but not too heavy, and yeah. And I'll have you all just take your, whatever your strongest arm is. And hold it straight out. Yeah. And just keep holding while I get this Bible verse out. So some of them at camp had water bottles that had no water in them. And so, like, you know, of course, they're like, this is so cool. It's not hard at all. But we were waiting for a couple girls to get back, so they were holding that empty water bottle for, like, 5 minutes. So some who had water in it were like, okay, I want to put that arm down. Like, it wasn't bad, now it's starting. So the empty water bottle was starting to get heavier. And they were all kind of like, can I put it down now? And I'm like, nope, keep it up. So you guys don't have to keep doing it because some are heavy. You can put it down. But I read from them 11:28, Matthew. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So holding that arm out for that long period of time was definitely a burden. Give it to God. Give your burdens to God. And that's what I was trying to teach these kids. Like, some stuff we can't do on our own. Just give it to Him, and He will give you rest. So we try to do it, you know, on our own for a little bit. But after time, it's like, gosh, it's not working. Because God's like, hey, give it to me. So that was one of the active lessons. Sit down. I forgot to clip this. Could you hear me? Hello? Testing. Great. Okay. And then we have this object lesson that I also did at VBS with the kids. But here we have Jesus. So Jesus is this cup. We have Jesus, then we have us. We're over here. And then we have this. Can anyone probably guess what this is? I mean, it's aki, so it's sin. And do we know what sin is? Sin is doing what we want and not what God wants. So, name some sins. Give me some sins. Louder. Yep, so we sinned, right? We're not perfect, we sin. And I should go back to sin entered the world because of Adam and Eve, correct? Yes, so because of them, we are full of sin. We have sin. We are born with it. We can't do anything to get rid of it. But we can because there's this person, Jesus. So we're full of sin, right? We need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He comes along, He fills us with that Holy Spirit, we repent of that sin, and He says, you will sin no more, and your sins will be washed away. And then we sin again, don't we? But then He comes, and He just keeps washing them. I didn't dump enough iodine in there. Darn it. It's okay, that would have it happens, right? But we get it. Jesus washes our sins away. And it's just a visual to show that when you confess that sin, it is gone. It no longer, in Jesus' eyes, it's gone. It may come back to us and we might sin again and we ask, but if we truly want to repent of that sin and do no more of it, the only way is through Jesus and through reading our Bible and going to church and praying and asking Him to help you with that sin that you just can't stop. So just like the 11:28 from Matthew, all your burdens, like the sins, give it to God. Let Him take over and they will be washed away. Oh, and this. This is Chrissy's, was an object lesson. So the last two years she's done a craft. Last year we made pillows because she wanted to, so when you laid your head on that pillow, you just thought of camp and Jesus. Well, this year it was, she got all these bricks and then did Jesus on them, spray painted. And her main thing was she wanted, we have to build our foundation on something, something solid. So she wanted the kids to go home knowing that they can build their life on Jesus. He is our solid ground. You can't build it on mud or sand. You need hard ground. So then the kids painted them, and they were beautiful. So.
Don't forget about Dale.
Oh, yes. Dale had to load them twice. Yes. So, I mean, they're heavy. I could have made you guys do this with that. That would have been fun, right? So, yeah. And she said she has another craft next year, so. She doesn't tell anyone what it is. We all find out that day, and it's awesome. So, and the kids, even the boys, no one complains about doing these crafts. They look forward to it, and they love it. So, sometimes I did tell them we have to do stuff we don't want to do sometimes. So, if you don't want to do this craft, sorry, you're going to do the craft. So, and then another simple, we've heard it before. I told the kids about, you know, when we like to point our fingers a lot at people. Right? But to always remember when you're pointing that finger, you got three pointing back at you. So, and then another one was God gave us two eyes and two ears and one mouth for a reason. To do more watching and seeing, or seeing and listening, and less talking. So, I mean, just for the kids, it's good for us adults too, because sometimes as adults, I feel like with kids, we want to talk and tell them what to do. When we should be maybe listening more. And I'm guilty of that with my own kids, so. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so for starters, camp is always just kind of a crack up that the way we have to trust God, the way we have to, it takes obviously human organization. I mean, you know, obviously anything does. But this year especially, we had a glitch with the computer. We had no idea how many kids were registered because people would see us on the street and said, "The kids are so excited to come to camp." Really? Are they registered? Yeah! We weren't getting the registrations. We got maybe 10 registrations. So we were kind of panicking all last week thinking, well, wonder how many kids we're going to have. I guess if God brings 10 is what God wanted us to have, and those 10 are important, and we will knock it out for those 10. So didn't really know what we were going to have for staff. Staff was a little shy this year. We had some unforeseen circumstances, some people that couldn't make it that normally do, things that weren't happening. So we were just like, okay, God, I don't like the word let go, let God, and I don't like the word just wing it because that seems irresponsible. But if you're doing it in the sense of faith, like we truly just thought, I guess who shows up, God will cover the bases, because this was the most unprepared, administratively wise, camp that we could have held, because we didn't really know who was coming for numbers. We didn't know ages. We normally know ages, so we know what t-shirts to order. We normally know sizes. We normally know kind of what crafts to do, what not to do, how many kids we're going to have to work with. We had no clue. Absolutely no clue. Sit down, Hallie gets the registration table already the day before. We sit down, I show up, and they just start piling in. I mean, it's like a circus clown car, you know, where you just, they just kept coming and kept coming, and we were like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. We ended up with 44 kids. Just as a visual, which remind me too, if you would like to be praying for these kids, I do have copies so that you can pray for the kids' names. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if you can see the circles on there, you can't. 20 out of the 44 kids were brand new campers. Had never been at camp before. So we didn't even go off of, you kind of know how this works. We've done this before. No, not really. We had the majority of our kids. We've had the smallest little people's amount of children we've ever had. Just all kinds of things that God was just so amazing. We didn't know. We talked about it, and later God revealed to it, and Matt can talk about that a little bit, what God revealed to us during camp. But we were kind of like, okay, wow, we've got the youngest amount of kids, or the most amount of kids we've ever had. We got the youngest kids we've ever had, the majority of them being younger. And we had no Montana, no Kansas, no Washington kids. These were all our kids. These were all Iowa kids. First time ever in 8 years that we've never just, a lot of those families that normally come to camp are all coming to conference and had to kind of pick or choose one or the other, and they chose to stay as a family and come for conference. So they'll be here in November. But this was the first year. So when you take that fact that you think we're missing 15 of our out-of-state kids that normally come to camp, look what those numbers did of your Iowa kids and your kids in your local community that were at camp. So what you're doing in this little tiny church is making a difference. The Lord's doing great things, and He's bringing kids, and there's a need for those kids to be here. We had some really cool things at camp that I just want to mention before I get into a little bit of the lesson. We've all been praying for our two little 15-year-olds, Lorelai and Tatum, that are both suffering. Lorelai is terminal. She was told she had 6 months to live, and that was in November. So she's surprising the doctors a little bit, and God's doing things in her. So Lorelai is still terminal. You have Tatum, who's fighting, and Tatum had been in a coma for over a week, wasn't responding to anything. And during camp, one of Tatum's really good friends, Ashley, was there, and Ashley, all of a sudden, we let Ashley check her phone, and we let Amanda check her phone. We kept them in the kitchen, and on a daily basis, we allowed those two girls to be able to check their phone, because Amanda is Lorelai's best friend, and Ashley with Tatum. And those girls, to keep them comfortable and to keep them understanding that they didn't, to keep them from being totally distracted, they wanted to be checking on their friend and to know what the progress was and what was happening. So those two girls could come in and check their phones with our permission. And Ashley one day came out just kind of beaming and crying and couldn't believe it. And they pulled Tatum's vent, and she was awake. She woke up, and she texted Ashley a really crooked little kind of funny text because her hands and eyes and stuff weren't working yet real great. But we had the opportunity to circle the kids up. We'd been praying for these two teenagers, so we were able to circle the kids up and show answer to prayer, show a praise, and show that when you pray about things and that God does move and that God does do things. So that was really cool that the kids got to pray with Ashley and see progress. The other big thing that we do, the entire camp, and that's when we say we pray over these names, the camp, just to background, we divide camp up and we put them into teams. The first thing they do, they don't get to be with their friends on teams. We usually just start and we say what their ages are, and then we go through and it's like shuffling a deck of cards, and they get put on teams. And the first thing they say when they walk into camp is, can I be on team with my friend? You know, and it's like, nope. Because we want you to go meet other friends. We want you to interact with other friends. Tent mates, you can be with your buddies all you want during sit-down time for classes, playing free time, tent time. But during the games, we divide them up into teams. So the team leader, we assign each team a team leader. That team leader takes their team. They each had 11 kids on their team this year, and they pray over those kids. We pray over them every morning at 7 in the morning. The staff all gets together, and we have staff prayer. And those kids are prayed over. And they're prayed over by name. They're not prayed over as a lump sum. They are specifically, and it is so beautiful to watch from day one when the team leaders are using their card, you know, and they're just reading because these kids aren't familiar to them. And just as the few days progress, just the depth of those prayers for their team member and the individualness of that team member and how they're learning to pray just so specifically for those kids. So this isn't just about bring them in, have them a little fun, throw a little Bible lesson at them, and woohoo! It's taken very seriously to pray over every one of these kids, to pray for the salvation of these kids. We give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. We talk about they would consider salvation, that they would consider Jesus Christ as their Savior. All week long, it is spoke of. Their opportunity to believe that, to take that into consideration. So, therefore, if you would like to take a list of these names might not know, but God knows, and God knows that if you would choose to speak prayer over these kids, just to continue, if their little hearts have not chosen Jesus Christ yet, they heard it. They heard it all week long, that those little hearts would be softened. If they already know Jesus Christ, the whole theme of our camp was to be set free. A lot of these kids need to be set free of the lies that Satan is telling them and the things that they're struggling with. So I would ask that you would maybe choose to do that. We open up, every year we have Q&A, we do three Bible classes a day and then Q&A. It amazes you what those kids ask. Those kids are so wise beyond our years, or just simply innocent enough that they're not garbaged up to think that that's not a good question or this is too simple of a question. They just ask them. And Q&A is so great. We get up there and we just are able to take their cards and ask them. The questions that they ask are phenomenal, and it teaches us all as we prepare quick how to answer those questions. Amazing what they ask. These aren't kids that are just asking, you know, simple little things. They're asking deep theological things that their little minds are thinking about. And it's just amazing what the Holy Spirit's putting on them. We hand out a survey. We give them their survey, which just allows us to see. We do that right. One of the first things at Bible camp is they have a Bible 101 class as their first class. They're gifted a Bible. Every kid that comes to camp goes home with their own Bible. They're gifted their Bibles, so it's theirs to keep. But we give them a survey that just helps us to see where they're at. We ask them if they understand. You know, it's just a simple, do you know who Jesus is? You know, do you understand, you know, anything about God? What do you know? You know, do you go to church? Do you know? And it just gives us an idea. Our biggest thing is we want to see what salvation. Do you know how to be saved? And it lets us kind of have a clue, you know, how many of them are either got it square or just kind of not so much. And it gives us a little bit of a game point. The object lessons are always good. We figure those in there. They're gifted their Bible. Let's see. The other thing that I want to say, too, with all of this, the expenses of CAF runs right about $4,000. And this year, for the last 2 years, we've put no fee on camp. And I specifically had one little camper come up to me and go, I got to come to camp this year because my mom said it was free. So your gifts that you put into this church and the above and beyond offering and where your money goes, you know, we know it goes around the world to Fassel and John Francis and some of those ministries, but it stays right here in your community. Those were 44 kids that were in this community, and our huge majority of those 10, 11, and 12-year-olds were Blairstown, Norway, and Watkins. They weren't, you know, some of the kids come from 2 hours away, but Blairstown, Norway, and Watkins, we had probably close to 15 to 16 young kids from our neighborhood. So your money is helping to pay and to put on camp. Like I said, they get a free t-shirt, they get sling bags that they put their Bible and their stuff in during mealtime, they get their free Bible, they get just all water bottles, everybody gets a free water bottle, they get stickers, they get, everything's just donated to them, and they're so grateful. There's a lot of kids that have never owned a Bible, never had a Bible. That's always a thrill to see. The other thing that was just a super awesome blessing to us is there again, we didn't really know for staff wise. And at the last minute, I had two, which God, that's why I said God's just so funny. The minute my mind starts going, wow, I don't know who I'm going to have for staffers. Two phone calls, and it was previous campers. Two kids that have graduated camp that chose to come back and be staffers this year as team leaders, and they did amazing. They did. We had Nate Andreg. Some of you know Andregs have come here for conferences. He graduated out of camp, came back, and was willing to be used of the Lord. We just, I don't know, just all of a sudden it was, Nate, do you want to go up and speak to the kids? And he gave a lesson that was, Caleb Jackson, what do you think of Nate's lesson? It was the best one. So we keep telling, it was the best one. We're all up there teaching, and his was the best one. He did a great job. He did a great job with visuals. He did a great job keeping on task, keeping the kids' attention. And that's a kid that just graduated out and chose to come back and serve. And that was 3 days before camp. He says, hey, I think I'm coming. We had another little gal. My niece, Coley, has been through camps, has been to us with the Montana camp. She's a basic girl. She's a full-time. She's in nursing school. She's busy. She works at St. Luke's Hospital full-time. And she says, I haven't put schedule out yet, and I'm putting in that I want 4 days off. I'm coming to camp. And she came to camp, and she did amazing with her group of girls. So the Lord is moving the pendulum that us old people, well, us, because we're reminded we're the old people, us old people are able to continue. You know, we've mentored, we've brought them up. They're seeing what to do, these young kids. And even these guys are the old people compared to 18 and 19-year-old Nate and Coley. So God's moving, and he's bringing kids into ministry. He's bringing kids in, which is amazing to see. Let's see, we got that covered. So what our theme was, if you want to look in your Bibles, you can open your Bible to John 8:32. Oh, not 8:32. I'm sorry. Yeah, 8:32. Yeah, 8:31. We'll back up to just 31 because that's the biggest part of it. So 8:31 and 32, but we're our camp theme. And in 8:31, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if, so it's conditional, maybe you will, maybe you won't, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So everybody, I'm going to read the next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So people like to spout that verse off. I mean, I think everybody in here has heard that, right? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But they forget to read the passage before it. It's this truth will set you free. If you are my disciple, and you choose to know this, this will set you free. Not just your truth, not any truth, not a truth of whoever. This will set you free. So that's what we really focused on with the kids. I'm going to challenge every one of you to take your Bible out and take a pen. And this is something that we did with the kids. Jackson, Dawson, Caleb, you guys, you don't have to do it. You already did it. If you were at camp and don't need to do this, or maybe you've got another one. But we had the kids separate their chairs, zigzag their chairs out so that it was personal and it was private. and it was authentic. But I'm going to ask every one of you to take your Bible out and take a pen on a blank page in your Bible, if you have one, or a piece of paper, and write down a lie that Satan is telling you. Write down a lie about yourself, something that Satan is telling you that this says is not true, but we choose to believe it right now. So if you take that and write that down, and you think about that, and you think, because then that's what keeps us in captivity. Because you say, the truth will set you free. Set me free from what? And you go, sin. Okay, but does anybody think about the lies that Satan tells us that keep us in sin? That I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not worthy of doing this. I'm not worthy of standing up here. Those things are, I mean, in a sense, true that I'm not worthy to stand up here. This is holy ground. But when you're doing it with, I'm fearful of this all the time. I'm afraid of this all the time. I can't do this because da-da-da-da-da. Those are all lies that Satan is embedding in you that keeps us stuck and keeps us from moving forward. So we challenge the kids to write that in your Bible, and then the day that you choose to believe him, and the day that you choose to take a big Sharpie marker and cross it out and write the date on it, that you choose to say, no, I'm going to believe what Scripture says. I'm going to believe I am who God says I am. I'm going to believe that what God says about that is true. And I get to cross that lie out. And I get to quit believing that, because only when we do that can God, the Holy Spirit, then whisper into us what our true identity is and who we really are. Because we stay stuck. So the other thing we do with the kids, we do this through Basic, we do this everywhere. This is our just a chart that we do. But you have your birthday and you have your death day. And somewhere along that line, God spoke to you about someone. Prayerfully, in your life, someone is going to tell you the story of Jesus Christ. And you have to make a decision. Right then and there, you make decisions. You make a decision to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are a child of God. That is eternal security. You're never taken out of that circle. You're never removed from his family. There's no sin that can separate you. But you have to keep walking. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm not dead yet. I've got this life I have to live. So we talk about saving faith and walking faith. So with the kids, we talked about this. When we get off this line, and when we draw it on the board's usually a mess because we draw a lot of, and we sin. So when we sin, we're off that line. We can choose to continue walking that life without Jesus Christ and believe in the lies and not be set free. You are a prisoner. You're paralyzed in your faith. You're in slavery. We talked about slavery. We talked about fear makes you make bad decisions. Fear makes you do things that in other ways you wouldn't do. And fear keeps you from embracing the living God. You're not living the life that God wants you to live, walking with him. And instead you walk down here. So we talk about confession. Confession is acknowledging that sin, but repentance is when you turn and choose to say, I'm not going to do that sin anymore. We can confess it and 30 seconds later do it all over again. You can gossip about somebody and go, oh, and confess it, turn around to the next person at the party, and right away your mouth is going, boop, 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 and you're doing it right over again. So this was our kids on how we talked about the slavery that Satan wants to keep us in, and then how do we get freedom from that? And that's knowing the truth. That is the only way for us adults. That's the only way that we can have freedom is through the truth of Jesus Christ. So the kids, we worked on that a lot, hopefully. We kept those pages in their Bible private, although some of them were read by different people or parents if they chose to see it. And they're tearjerkers. They were absolutely gut-wrenching tearjerkers at what these kids are feeling like and feeling and believing the lie that Satan's telling them. So when we ask you to pray for them, keep praying that. Keep praying that those lies are just broken away and crumbled up and swept away, that they can start finding truth. I think that's probably all I got. Who do you got next?
Play the video.
Okay, this video, can I get the cap or not? Okay, the video that we're going to see, we've shown through Basic every year. We show at camp. Oh, this is the actual pictures of camp?
Yes.
Okay, so this is just some of the pictures at camp. The video that he's going to show later, just keep in mind the beginning of it is Jesus. There's a guy that, so just if you know that, you'll be able to understand the rest of the video.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you for all the children that you brought to camp. They were blessings to us. And we just want to pray over each and every one of them. I'm just going to run through the names, Lord, and I just pray specifically that you would just put upon me what they each need specific prayer for. So, Father, I pray for Jillian, Roman, Adeline, Zadok, Addie, Lydia, Evelyn, Riker, Emery, Marcus, Megan, Reese and Rowan, Micah, Colin, Braden, Marybelle, Ashley, Sam, David, Abigail, Dawson, Stella, Olivia, Plang, Amanda, Carly, Caleb and Cole, Ethan, Isabel, Sophia, Lily, Noel, Scout, Engage, Fisher, Owen, Ashlyn, Roman, Avery and Paisley, and Jackson and Charlie. Father, you created these children, Father, for to glorify you, and we just pray over them that as they grow and as they learn more about you and their relationship with you grows, Father, I just pray that that's what they would do. I pray that they would realize that being a Christian isn't about works and about doing good. I pray that they would realize it's about having that relationship with you and getting to know you and pouring out your love to others. We see through camp and just their interactions, we saw leaders that you're raising up. I pray that these leaders would lead in a godly way, in a righteous way, according to your word. We also know, Lord, that there are children who are followers. And I just pray that they would choose to follow you and not the world. I pray that you would put people in all of these children's lives that would encourage them and lead them to you. They heard the truth this week, and I just pray that the truth would truly set them free, and that they would realize that they don't have to live in that bondage or fear, whatever is holding them back to living their lives fully for you. I pray that you would break those chains, Lord. I pray for the children who have not accepted you yet, that your Holy Spirit would just lead them to you. I pray for the kids that who are believers, and especially the new one that received you as their Lord and Savior this week. I just pray that they would never let go of you, Lord. We know that you walk beside them every single day. I pray that they would feel your presence. Some of them come from wonderful Christian homes, but they also still face trials and problems within their home, within their schools. Some of them come from not so great homes, and their trials and tribulations are much bigger than others. I pray that they would see these trials and tribulations as ways to grow as believers. I pray that they would not fear anything that comes upon them, and that they would know that they are protected by you, Father. We just thank you for each child that came to camp. I pray that they wouldn't slip away. I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us to what we need to do in the future to help them grow as believers, Lord. And I pray that their parents would be encouragers and not squash this light that's in them. In Jesus' name, amen.